Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we have returned. We want to again thank Brock DeMaio, Bill Coppin for being our guest. Moving forward, it's been quite a unique experience, last week's primary election. Kind of what I get a call from our next guest, or guests, kind of thought that it would be a good segment to have here on Monday Night Talk after all the elections and all leading up to the primary election that we had last Tuesday. Had a conversation with Michael Jones of the Capital Group, who's in studio. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Happy to be here.
And Michael's like, you know, I think a good conversation would be with a gentleman that I ran against for the 10th Congressional District right here in Massachusetts. It would make a good conversation to talk with former Congressman Bill Delahunt and myself and kind of talk about how politics were at that point in time. And what it was like running against each other. You guys have since kind of broken a little bit of a friendship. You guys are on good terms. Worked together at times.
Yeah.
And I believe joining us on the phone line is former Congressman Bill Delahunt. Congressman, how are you?
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Of course.
And Michael, I hope things are going well. You're working hard. And taking care of your family and paying taxes.
Yes, sir. By and large, yeah.
All right.
And, of course, Congressman, just to let you know, I do have a co-host. Joe Rossi is my co-host. So if Joe pipes in here and there with a question in regards to our conversation, it won't be just some strange voice off of the off of the street.
Just so you know.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Congressman. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Congressman, kind of let's go both sides of the coin. Give us your thoughts on the relationship between yourself and your former political opponent, Michael Jones.
Well, I have a lot of respect for Mike Jones, and that's sincere and it's genuine. Because, you know, he got into the pit. You know, there's that great quote, and I forget it, of course, by Teddy Roosevelt, from Teddy Roosevelt, about, you know, joining the battle, getting your hands dirty, sweating it out, and, you know, taking the shots that come your way. And there's not another venue anywhere in human experience that can be as tough as being a public figure and running for office. And he did it. He did a good job. And I wasn't telling him these things during the campaign, but I was impressed. And since that time, we've shared many a cup of coffee. Right, Michael?
Absolutely.
Michael, how would you depict the race that you were embarked on back in, what was it, 2004 or 2002?
2004. What I resent about the process was that people I surrounded myself with, consultants, advisors, activists, all were pushing me to hate this gentleman, Bill Delahunt, that I was running against. Mm. And after it was all said and over, and he beat me handily, by the way, we did sit down. We had some cups of coffee, and I recognized that maybe if other folks in Washington would sit down and just talk to each other and stop listening to the pollsters, and stop listening to the advisors, and just talk to each other. Back in the day of Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill, things got done that way. And I feel the country is adrift from that level of a cooperation. And government needs to cooperate a little bit more and do a little bit more listening to one another and a little less fighting over partisan politics and bickering.
I got to ask you.
Well stated, Michael. And I have to tell you, that is something that's missing down in Washington. And as I look back on my own career in Congress, I was here for 14 years. People say, what are you proud of? I was involved in maybe 5 or 6 significant pieces of legislation. But what I say to them, what made me the most proud in personal terms, was that there was a survey done among Republican House members. It was conducted by a paper called The Hill that I know Michael is familiar with. Mm-hmm. And they surveyed the entire Republican conference in the House. And the question that they posed was, who do you rate in terms of being the most bipartisan Democrat? And I'm proud to say, out of a couple of hundred Democrats, I came in number two, okay? And I know that
shocked
a lot of the reporters, because, you know, my politics are similar to that of, you know, Ted Kennedy, who also, by the way, was a great listener. And I think what was particularly telling at his memorial service, how many Republicans came and with, you know, real genuine sentiment expressed their admiration and their affection and their respect, you know, for Ted Kennedy, even though, you know, he was constantly being criticized. But he got things done, and that's what Mike Jones just said. If we're going to get things done again, we got to sit down. We got to have a cup of coffee, maybe occasionally even a beer, okay? And we treat each other with respect and listen. Oftentimes, I can remember hearings that I either chaired or was the senior Democrat on the panel. And listening to the various witnesses, I might not have commented, but I remember there were occasions when I said, you know, that's a very valid point. And I want to reflect on that and think about it and see how we can create a consensus and do something that really makes a difference in the lives of the American people.
Congressman, I have to ask you, in regards to, do you feel, though, what took place during the time you were in office compared to now, being able to work across the aisle and have some kind of working relationship, whether you have a D or an R next to your name, is a lot of that, you know, provided? Is that something that's usually done by leadership? Should leadership be the one, whether it's, you know, the Senate or the House or the President himself, being the one who's trying to instill this, that this is, you may have your differences on an issue, but we still need to work together? Is that something that's lacking right now in today's day and age?
I think it is lacking, but I'm hopeful, okay? I'm on the board over at the Institute of Politics at the Kennedy School. And each year, you know, new members come in for what is called an orientation period. And I address them. And this last class particularly, and they don't have any influence yet, but both Republicans and Democrats really impressed me, and they were articulating the exact sentiments that we are expressing here right now. Listen, you know, America goes through different cycles. This is the information age, the 24-hour news cycle. You know, we tweet, we do Facebook, we do things that I don't even understand. You know, I'm an old man now, so I'm computer illiterate. But it's really important to bring back the personal connection between people, that face-to-face. It's really difficult when you like somebody not to listen to them. And yes, on occasion, without sacrificing your own principles, work out a consensus that, again, moves the American agenda forward. It's the only way it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen. I really do. I'm hopeful. I truly am hopeful.
I guess I want to ask you, Michael, what are some of the things that you guys, you and the former congressman, have been able to work on since putting that race behind you, behind each other? You know, you weren't successful in the race. You might have had a little bit of bitterness, but you were able to get past that to be able to work with this gentleman who was your rival for a short time.
I like to say, in some regards, I'm a recovering Republican. What
does that mean? You're a rhino?
No, actually, it does not. there are two Republican parties right now. You have your Tea Party folks. You have your Main Street.
There's a division.
They're forming two separate caucuses, and they're not going to be able to get some legislation across here, depending on some of the dynamics coming up. But what I think Mr. Delahunt and I expressed to one another one day was, look, we're Americans before we're Republicans, and we're Americans before we're Democrats. And you do have to have some sort of admiration for Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan and some of these gentlemen that actually could just sit down across a table, put our differences aside, say, we agree on 60 to 70% of the problems here. We're not willing to give them all up for 100% victory on either side. Let's work on what we can get done, and we'll fight about the rest later. And
like a marriage.
The gridlock in Washington right now, I have been a lobbyist there for 20 years. I have never seen it so inhospitable and so rough and so grueling and so money influenced and such a little lack of regard for recognizing that we're all Americans. We need to work this out together. And that's what has me the most disturbed. And Mr. Delahunt and I expressed this to each other one day, and I think that's where we recognize we had a lot more in common than we did not. So,
you know, the toughest job, to pick up on that point that Michael made about, you know, two Republican parties, you know, obviously, you know, the president has the most difficult job. But not far after him is the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who I consider a friend, who is a very good human being. He's fun to be with. And yet, if you raise his name among Democrats, there's this, you know, howls of contempt. He has a real difficult job because there is a group within the Republican Party that is mindless in the sense that it is simply no, 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 no. You can't move forward. And, you know, to try to herd those that particular group into a majority within the Republican conference is a very difficult job. And he's being challenged every day in one form or another.
Joe?
But I think Republicans are going to retain control of the House. I don't think that is even an issue. But, you know, I think, you know, we're going to see a different Congress in the next 2 years after this election, one that will be more productive.
Congressman, I know you've only been into politics now for a few years. But,
4 years. Four beautiful, wonderful years.
Well, I guess my question is kind of two-part. I guess, first of all, do you miss being down in Washington? And secondly, with all the issues that are going on right now, whether it be ISIS or healthcare or whatever the issue might be, you know, what would you like to bring, if you could go back now, what is one issue that you would like to tackle the most?
Well, I mean, and as Michael knows, because paths cross frequently down there. I'm in D.C. 2 days a week in any event. So I've maintained the friendships that I developed over time, and I'm meeting new members of Congress, both from the House and the Senate. In terms of substantive issue, I think we really have to be careful in terms of our foreign policy. You know, I was a strident opponent against the invasion of Iraq because what I see and what I predicted is now happening. And what I tragically foresaw was we would only find ourselves deeper and deeper in a morass. I always find it interesting that the Chinese, who have this huge economy and, you know, are a billion-plus people, you know, I never see them involved in anything that requires them to send troops anywhere. You know, they're doing okay. And they are very deft and clever in terms of how they conduct their foreign policy. I'll challenge you, when's the last time they went to war? They had a skirmish since the Korean War.
I look at China as kind of like a beehive. And the only time you ever see any activity from China is if anybody, you know, goes, if there's anything that goes near one of their interests. And Korea was one of those that they got involved in that fight.
You know, and sometimes I think we've got to pause and we have to take a look in terms of the kind of commitments that you know we make and the consequences of those commitments. There's a real tragedy going on in this country, and that is our veterans, and that are, you know, finding themselves not just finding it difficult to have a job, but are suffering not just physically but mentally, and the number of suicides and the pain that they bear with them as a result of being in the kind of combat that they experienced in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is a really untold story about the impact it has, not just on the men and women that serve there, but their families when they come home. And it's something that we have to be aware of and address and try to help these young men and women get through life without having, you know, mental health issues that are profoundly serious and disruptive of what we would hope would be a full life for them and their families.
Again, we're speaking with a former Congressman, Bill Delahunt, and we also have Michael Jones from the Capital Group. Ask you the same question, Michael. Do you regret not running for an office again? Do you miss politics, or are you happy being the head of the Capital Group and being a guy who is down, you get the finger on the pulse of Washington without having to have an office?
I never really felt that I had to win office. However, once Bill Delahunt kicked my butt up and down the South Shore, I recognized that perhaps I should try something else for a while. But maybe I'll be back. Listen, this is an ultra blue state. There are red states in the South.
You're not going to pull a Scott Brown, are you?
No, I'm not going to pull a Scott Brown.
Disrespect to Scott Brown, but I mean, I'm watching the war. I'm watching the war of words already starting to take place. We were talking about it, you know, during the break for a moment. It's interesting to see what happens. So when you said that, I kind of
right now I'm focused on my lovely wife, my sweet little 7-year-old girl, running my business, and doing what I can do philanthropically to help out where I can. And like I said, I'm an American before I'm a Republican, so whatever I can do, I'm trying to do. Bill, I have to say thank you for this segment, because I think it underscores that even people who said the things you and I said about each other, and I didn't mean them, by the way, in retrospect, but it was a campaign, and that's the sport of it and whatever. And
you gotta stir up
it's
the
just
rhetoric.
Getting too nasty, and I don't like the dialect in Washington, as I'm sure Bill will tell you. I think people need to grow up a little bit and start looking each other in the eye and working a little bit more for everybody rather than their own personal self-interests.
Now, you had talked a little bit about what you do as far as lobbying. Congressman, you are somebody who has been in the news other than being elected.
Other than being a lobbyist.
Well, I mean, even as recent as today, we know that you were kind of in the running to get involved with medical marijuana, and the latest news is that it's something you're going to kind of resign from that nonprofit company that you're working with. Give us some insight on that.
Sure. Well, let me tell you why. Some people have approached me to assist them in exploring opportunities for addiction treatment facilities in the Northeast. And, you know, I have a very frenetic and very, crazy schedule. And, you know, to take on that challenge, it would leave no time for me to continue to lead Medical Marijuana of Massachusetts, which was and is a nonprofit. And I should add that, you know, during my tenure in Congress, I really took up the cause of addressing the issue of pharmaceutical heroin that is ravaging every community, not just here in Massachusetts, but all over the country. Myself and Hal Rogers, whom Michael knows well, he's the Republican chair of the Appropriation Committee, came together and decided to create a caucus to deal with, you know, the abuse of OxyContins and other similar, what I call, pharmaceutical heroin. And was pleased that I think we began to have to make it into a national conversation. And now one only has to pick up the paper on an everyday basis, and some tragedy is reported. You know, there was some great work done up at the State House under the direction of Senator Steve Tolman. And, you know, I had him come to Washington, and we conducted a hearing, and he did a great job testifying. And one of the points that he made, I think, is so telling. We talked earlier about Iraq and Afghanistan. Sure. At the height of those wars, in Massachusetts residents, we lost 78 of our fellow citizens. Contemporaneously, in Massachusetts, in that same time frame, we lost 3,265 of our fellow citizens to death by pharmaceutical heroin because they OD'd. That's unacceptable. That's a threat to our society. It's a threat to our national security. So when, after the referendum was passed, I was of the belief that marijuana used for medicinal purposes could very well be a substitute for those painkillers that are being abused and are leading to fatalities. And I said, a group of physicians came to me. I said, let me put a good team together, which we did. In fact, it's just a remarkable group, right, all committed to, you know, delivering the right kind of marijuana products to people who are desperate and who are suffering from chronic and debilitating conditions. But a collateral impact was just reported, my hope, that it would reduce the overdose rate by people, you know, who were using prescription drugs and had become addicted to them. In those states which authorized marijuana for medicinal purposes, the rate of deaths and overdoses declined by 25%. And this is a study that was published in the prestigious Journal of the American Medical Association. So, you know, that really, for me, validated what I believed in and why I became involved in the medical marijuana issue. At the same time, I know that there has to be more treatment facilities for those that are addicted, not just to prescription drugs, but to whatever the addiction is. Mm. And as I referenced earlier, and veterans are a group that, you know, unfortunately, are often ignored when it comes to efforts to rehabilitate and provide them services to wean themselves off of an addiction and be able to lead a good and full life.
We're just about out of time, but I do have to ask. I know that the state had rejected a number of dispensaries that were sought after. I know a couple of the ones that you were seeking were also that they had rejected. If they had approved it, would you have still resigned today?
Yeah, I would have, Kevin, because I really think that, the people that are there that are in this, that make up this group, they'll be able to carry this forward. They are just superb. Their credentials are impeccable. They will be the gold standard in terms of how these medical marijuana dispensaries ought to be run and ought to be, useful to people who need them, and hopefully have a positive effect in terms of what's happening with the abuse of prescription drugs in our communities today. I'm at the age, Kevin, where, I want to stay engaged in issues that I feel passionate about. And I think we're heading in the right direction. I'm hoping that. I really am. And like I say, that study that was reported in the journal is really hopeful, because we've got to deal with pharmaceutical heroin, because if we don't, we're going to all suffer.
Well, I got to thank you for at least touching upon that and even talking about, the race between yourself and Michael Jones. Michael, you want to say anything in closing, my friend?
All I can say in closing is that when I started to put together a foundation to attempt to give young people alternatives, careers, career counseling, working with the counselors called the Polaris Foundation from the Plymouth school system, one of the first people who came and met with us was Bill Delahunt. One of the first people that was on board was Bill Delahunt, and one of the first people to offer counseling services and legal services for the foundation was Bill Delahunt. So he means what he says.
Well, Congressman,
Michael, and thank you for being a leader in that effort.
Congressman, we want to thank you, and we want to thank Michael for being a guest during this segment and talking about a number of things. We'd love to have the two of you back if there's any further initiatives in regards to going after, the medical, the heroin, and the drug addiction that we're seeing. We'd love to have you back on, Congressman.
I look forward to it, and I look forward to, the next edition of the Mike and Bill Show.
Oh, I like that.
Along, we'll use Kevin, right?
Oh, we got that. That's right. I like that. I don't mind being the conduit for that. Well,
let's call it the Bill and Mike Show, though, just out of doubt.
Gentlemen, take care, guys. Great talking to all of you.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you former shortly. Congressman Bill Delahunt and Michael Jones of the Capital Group. Sir, thank you so much. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.